make sure I got this thing on. Yeah, I got it on. Got to remember what I got to do. Got a checklist after, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks? You kind of got to remember what to do here. So we've sang and so and all, so I guess that's my part. And got a special edition for you. Tonight's a business meeting also, so we're going to do all the things while we're here. So we'll try to knock it out tonight. But it is so good to see you. I'm glad to be back in the Lord's house tonight and just singing that song. It's good to be saved, isn't it? It's great to be saved, isn't it? And it's great to know it, you know. A lot of times in life we get things thrown at us and, you know, base things on feelings maybe, and sometimes we don't feel good or maybe feel anxious about things. But if we could see, I believe this, if we could truly see how the Lord looks at us and how he loves us and how he cares for us and takes care of us, I think a lot of our anxiety could probably subside just a little bit. We'll see some of that tonight. We're, again, back in Hebrews, going back through there. If you like to, you can be turning with me to Exodus chapter number 13. I just want to touch base there and go into Exodus chapter number 14. Again, talking about faith, and we'll pray tonight after a business meeting. I'll try not to be too lengthy with this. There's a lot that could be said, way more than I could preach in just a few minutes or teach in a few minutes, but it's been good to my heart. Studying this and looking this over, I guess I've had, several weeks now, so I should have it memorized, but the Lord kind of, as I read over it, the Lord kind of adds different things to my heart and to my mind with it. And again, just going back to what this is talking about, if you remember Paul, again, writing this to the Hebrews, and basically he is reminding them of their history, reminding them of their heritage. And I believe this will come at a time of remembrance when you think about the time of tribulation and what that's going to be like, and you imagine a Jewish person reading this, putting things together, really needing to see who Jesus is and understand that. That's the importance of this. If you really focus on what this is talking about tonight, I know on Sunday preached on knowing, the importance of knowing, and that is exactly what God was doing with Pharaoh during this time. He wanted him to know who he was. You know, people in this life, some people have never heard about the Lord maybe, or have heard, choose not to believe, and do not take it serious. And the Lord can do things in their life to make him known. And that's what he was doing for Pharaoh. But Pharaoh, he hardened his heart at each level, at each stage. And it says that the Lord hardened his heart. And I believe, this is how I look at it, I believe the Lord turned him over to his own devices. Now, think about this. You know, it would be easy maybe for us to think I'm a pretty good fella. You might say I'm a pretty good lady, what have you, something like that. But you imagine if the Lord turns you over to your desires and there was no restraining from that. You ever think about it that way? I believe in Pharaoh's life, that's what happened with him. He had a hardened heart, or he had a heart that was against God. He admitted he didn't know who he was. He admitted he wasn't going to listen to God. But you imagine, in your life, in my life, if we did not have the restraining power of the Holy Spirit pulling us back and say, hey, you're getting ready to make a mistake here, you might not want to do that. And you have that restraining and you have that pulling back. At every place, at every leg of this race, I see Pharaoh getting harder and harder. And it makes me think about people today, us in general, but lost people very specifically, as they get older and have not accepted Christ, and as they go through life, I really do not believe that their heart gets softer. I think it gets harder. I think it gets more confident in the flesh, more confident in what they see, what they feel that they can do for themselves, and they don't know what the power of God is like in their life. Reading through this, and you'll see this, and I pray that the Lord brings this out, and I trust that he will, but I know, how many of you have heard about the Egyptians and the Red Sea and Moses crossing the Red Sea? How many people heard that? I think just about everybody raised their voice, you know, or raised their hand. And I know that. But, you know, it's important to hear it. I use this a lot. Hear it again for the first time. And just really see what the Lord is saying here. He's recounting this. Paul's recounting this to the Jewish people so they can remember this. I also liken this, the more I studied this, I almost liken it to what it's like for a person to have a reprobate mind. That's when a person has been turned over to their own devices. They have been turned over just to how they want to do things. It's just they've crossed that line. That's a scary thing. I don't want to know where that line is. I don't want to cross that line. And just think about it like that. Pharaoh's days were numbered. We can see that and we know that. And we'll pray here in just a little bit. And so I'll just get into it for the sake of time tonight. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, it says here, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. And so we see that's where this starts off. This is where Paul starts off in Hebrews, but it takes us right back to Exodus chapter 13 here. And we finished with the Passover last time. We remember with the Passover, when the Passover lamb and how that meal was to be prepared at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All of these things, these Jewish traditions were taking place and going on. And he said, be ready to go. Have your feet shod. You be ready to go, because once this takes place, once I allow this Passover to happen, once the death angel comes through, there'll be a cry as if never been heard before, and they're going to want you to go. So you be ready to go. Again, I see some comparison there. I can compare that maybe to the rapture a little bit. When it's time to go, he's coming. And it's just going to be that way. You be ready. We be ready to go. But I see how the Lord really places his hand on his people in this. He had a path for them. And you know how the children of Israel are, much like us. We complain about things. We get worked up about things. We get anxious about things. And if we're not careful, we'll get bitter about things. We'll touch on that just a little bit. I think Pharaoh got more bitter as he went on. He didn't get better. He got bitter. And you can see that. But we see how the Lord takes care of his people. Here in Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. Be a fair bit of reading tonight, but I want us to see the account here. This is the direction. So the way this was set up was, by day the children of Israel were to follow the cloud, and by night they had a pillar of fire to follow. So the Lord was with them. They weren't just leading themselves blindly. Even Moses himself wasn't leading the people. He was following God. That's a very important thing to take note of here. I know they looked up to Moses and Aaron maybe, but it was the cloud and it was the pillar of fire that they were actually following as a group. And I like what it says here. Verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, this is right after what had happened that night with the firstborn, where the blood had not been applied, those dying, the death angel coming through, and had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that way was near. I just want to stop there for just a second. You know, that's kind of how our minds work. Have you ever questioned God? Say, God, are you really sure this is the path we need to go? Is this not a much harder path? This path is right here, Brother Terry. It's the short path. It's here. Why would we go a further way? That makes no sense. That would be harder. It'd be longer. You see, the beautiful thing about God is he sees around the corner, and we can't do that. I mean, we can't see past this. We really can't. But he sees that and he knows. And as I read this, I thought he even took care of that part of it. He knew what was around the corner, even though it was close, the path that was close, although it was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return unto Egypt. He knew that a battle was going on there that he didn't want his people to be involved with. He didn't even want his people to see it. That's our problems. A lot of times we see something, we faint from fear very easily. We can be lifted up and we can be confident in 1 minute. The very next second we can just fall flat. I've been there myself. I've seen it. I've experienced that. But I can tell you with my whole heart and confidence in God, he has our best interest at his heart. And that's what he's doing for his people. He's getting them out of slavery and out of bondage. And it says here, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, of the Red Sea. He led them through the wilderness, not through the way of war. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them away, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and to go by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They always knew where they were supposed to go. They knew how the Lord, as long as they were willing to follow him, they knew when to go. And even as importantly, Brother Bill, they knew when to stop. Some people don't know when to stop. I'll say this, you may have heard me say this before, but before you put the pedal to the metal, make sure you're going in the right direction. I've seen some overzealous people, we're going. Yeah, but you're going the wrong way. Slow down. Let's go the right way. And when the pillar stops, we're supposed to stop. But you see, this is what was taking place, and as this was setting up here, and I want to title this tonight, The Seriousness of a Hardened Heart. The seriousness of a hardened heart. We see here in Exodus 14, kind of go through this quickly, and kind of see how things were laid out together. Verses 1 through 4, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he's laying things out. He said that the reason, this is why he is doing this, all the plagues, everything that took place, so dramatic. He used the gods of the Egyptians against themselves, against them, to show that he had power over them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pharoth, between Migdog and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it, and ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. That was the whole purpose of why God was doing this. He laid it out. He didn't leave it a surprise or a secret. He said, I'm going to do this in such a way that Pharaoh will know that I am the Lord. You know, I tell you, if you don't know the Lord tonight, I pray and trust that you will. That's an important thing, and not harden your heart against him. You know, as life goes on, things can happen in life, and if a person isn't careful, as they get older, they can get more bitter. Have you seen that happen? Hard things can happen in life, bad things can happen in life, and if you're not turned toward facing God and seeking after him and kind of left to your own devices, if you're not careful, you'll become bitter. You'll lose faith in humanity. I can completely understand that. What's left? God. You can lose faith in him and his power and his ability. And I challenge us not to do that. But the Lord, this was his reason, that the Egyptians may know that he is the Lord. We see Pharaoh's response here in verses 5 through 7. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? They were upset. I think it's kind of like this. This is how I liken it to this. You know, if you're going through something and it's very, very bad and you just want it to stop and you're willing to say, okay, I'll do whatever you say just to make this stop, that might not be true repentance or a true turning of heart. You might just want your circumstance to stop. I believe this is where Pharaoh found himself time and time again. It got so bad, he was willing to say, okay, I'll let you go, I'll do this. But then once that pain, once that suffering went away, he had a change of heart. You see, the Egyptians, what they had here, they had what is called slave labor. They enslaved them. They were doing all this work, and now that their work is gone, they would say, now we're going to have to do this ourselves. They started complaining to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, now let's go get them back. His heart kept getting hardened. And you know, I believe it was his hatred for this people that was causing him so much trouble. And it just kept on and just kept festering. And he made ready his chariot and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt. And the captains over every one of them. He had his whole army with him. Everybody that he was going to take. This is his response. Selfishness. Sinful. It was all about himself. He perceived himself as a god. You remember how God even said, I will make you, Moses, a god to him. That's what he understood. What he could see as gods and what he worshipped. And that's what the Lord was using against him with Moses. You see the Egyptians here, verses 8 and 9, how they're pursuing. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out to a high went out with a high hand. They were, we're out of here. We're leaving. Verse number 9, and the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and the chariots and Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the side of Pihahiroth before Belzaphon. Verses 10 through 17, it says, the children of Israel, what I've got in my notes, the children of Israel response when they see this. You see, if you remember, when the Lord took them away from what was going on, led them away from what was going on with the Philistines and the war and the battle, now they start seeing we're going, but they're catching up to us. They're going to catch us. This is not going to be good. This is a bad thing. And you see, their hearts started fainting. We're the same way today. We see things and we try to say we're trusting, and if we're not careful, our hearts start fainting. We forget that God is where he is and God is still God. We forget that how much he cares for us. But look, verses 10 and 12, look at their response. When Pharaoh drew nigh, when trouble drew nigh, when they sensed that, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. They didn't lift up their voices in prayer. It doesn't say anything about faith. It doesn't say anything about trusting. It doesn't say, what if it said, and they knew that their God said he was going to deliver them, and they fainted not. They didn't worry. It doesn't say that. They lifted up their eyes. They looked out and said, there comes trouble. We've had it. About that fast, the way it reads, pretty much that quick. They lifted up their eyes and beheld, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And he said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die into the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Why did you not listen to us? Just let us, we're not happy. We're in servitude, but just at least we're alive. At least we have a little bit to eat. Just why could we not have stayed here in this condition? For had it been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? You see, that's their response here. You know, the Lord never intended for us to live in sin, in the bondage of sin. He has a life for us, he has a way for us, and he wants us to follow that life, not be content with the same old, same old. I think sometimes people maybe deal with sin and maybe they feel encamped by it and covered up with it, and they're saying, you know what, I'm tired of fighting, I'll just stay in it. That is not where the Lord intended us to be. The Lord doesn't want us to be under the law. He wants us to be free. The Bible is a very liberating book. If we're following after him, we're trusting him and staying right with him, we're liberated. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want that. The devil wants us to be encamped with sin and say, hey, you can't worship in church. Remember how you acted all week and you want to get up in church and act like somebody? No, you're just an old dirty sinner. Well, yeah, I am. But I got a perfect Savior. And I want to trust in him and stay in him. See, that's where God wants us to be. Not satisfied in the sin and just saying, well, this is as good as it's going to get. I don't believe that's where the Lord wants us to be at all. He has a lot for us. He don't want us to stay there. He did not want the children of Israel to stay here, but you see immediately how they're just like, you brought us out here to die. Getting ready to see probably all those plagues that they saw, how miraculous that was, that's nothing compared to what they're getting ready to see. But yeah, they're like, yeah, we're out here. You brought us out here to die. But John, we might as well just roll it up. They're here. They're on top of us. There's nothing we can do. We should have just stayed in servitude. Interesting what Moses, his response to them here, it is verse 13, 14. It says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. He's going to do the work. We really can't. All he asked for us to do is be faithful and trust him. And he says, I'll do the rest. You think about it. What can we do? You think about the work. What can we really do? It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. We have to be a willing vessel. We have to be obedient. That's what he was asking them to do. Stand still and watch what God is going to do. Moses was confident in what God was going to do. He had seen things. He had walked with the Lord. He had seen things happen, and he's trying to lead these people to see this. He was encouraging almost the unencourageable. And that is a hard thing to do. It's something you see somebody on fire and excited and motivated, and sometimes you see a group of people, it's not excited, they're not motivated. It's like, let's all just be excited together. That's what the Lord would like to see. Honestly, I mean, you think about it. He knows what he has for you and me. And he wants us to be happy in that, trusting in that. That he has us, that's our faith, that's what we can extend to him. The Lord is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of them. You see here, verses 15 through 18, I find this interesting how this reads here too. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you crying to me? I thought that was strange in reading this. Are we not supposed to cry out to God? Is that not what we're supposed to do? If the Lord lays on our heart what we're supposed to do, what's left is to do it. Why are you crying out to me? I've told you what to do. I've told you what to tell the people. You know what you're supposed to do. Don't you start turning back also. I've told you what you need to do. And he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speaking to the children of Israel, that they may go forward, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You see, this is the Lord talking here. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. One of the things I had to look up is, did Pharaoh die in this also? Was he caught up in all this also? And I believe he was. He's right there, because I was looking for that. I didn't want to get up here tonight and say, no, he wasn't in it. I believe he was there. He got his honor. He proved his point. It wasn't just the people that chased after him, the army, the Egyptians, but him also. He's included here, and I believe that based off of what he's saying. He's telling Moses what he's supposed to do, and Moses is just supposed to do it. When the Lord tells us to do something, that's just what he expects us to do. He holds us accountable to do that. You think about this, I'm going to say this here that I thought was kind of interesting, and you probably heard this. I've heard people, if you ever watch documentaries, I do. I kind of want to just see it and see what it says. You know, a lot of times you can't put any stock in it whatsoever, but Brandy, tell you, I like to watch it to point out where they're wrong. That's what I like to know. Nope, you missed it here. You didn't follow the Bible. You missed it. But, you know, I've heard people say, maybe historians or whatever, they'll say, well, you know, when you go to Israel, you go to this place and you see the Red Sea here, and about the place that they're talking about where they would be crossing over, that's really very shallow water. Brother Tim, that's, you know, maybe ankle deep. You know, so that's not really impressive. I mean, you drop ankle-deep water, and if it was a little hot that day, and the water receded, rescinded a little bit, and, you know, dry ground, that wouldn't really be too miraculous. But wow, you know, that's a sad way to look at it. But I'm like, man, the Lord drowned all them people in ankle-deep water. That's pretty impressive. That's a little bit bigger to me. You've probably heard that. That's a bigger miracle to me than all this wall of water that was actually there. You'll see what he says here and the way he explains it, how he lays it out, verses 19 through 22. An angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp and the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it was a light by night to these, so that one camp not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back, a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. He blew it out. Took the wind. God is in control of the atmosphere, the weather, the elements, and he drew that out. He blew that out, and he made a path for people to walk through. During the middle of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. He dried it right. I tell you right now, with all this rain that we've gotten, I appreciate dry ground, Brother Nathan. I've got dryers going underneath my house right now to try to dry things out. I mean, I was looking, I was like, man, dry ground sounds pretty good right now. I like that. That's a blessing. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left in the wall. Now, if you want to call that a wall, you can. That's okay, but it says a wall. I think a wall is pretty high. I'd count a wall, for the most part, very tall. That's what the Bible says. We'll stay with what it says. And that is what took place here. That's the miracle of it. It's what's taking place here. Now, verses 23 through 25, we see how the Lord handles the Egyptians and the problems that Moses and the children of Israel had. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. The Lord is passing his judgment. It's coming to be. The Lord is doing this. And look what he did too. I mean, he doesn't do anything halfway. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." This God that they didn't know, they're saying, this Lord is fighting for them. There's some recognition here. There's some knowledge here. We're seeing this here, but I want to mention this. You see how they drave after them? Thinking about a reprobate mind, thinking about a hardened heart. I believe as time goes on that a person's heart just gets harder and harder and harder, and they're going to make some bad mistakes in life. I believe they lose the concept of being humble, lose the concept of being willing to follow God. It's like, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's always been me. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But look at the hardship. It cost them their life. A lot of times in this day and time, it is absolutely no different. You see rebellious people. You see rebellion that kind of just goes on and on and on, seemingly unstopped. And it never ends well. It never ends well. It just doesn't work out for them. We see here verses 26 through 31, and I'm closing here. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." All Moses had to do before this and after this was lift out his rod. That's what the Lord asked him to do. It was that simple. I mean, that's a small thing to be asked to do for what the outcome is here. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. They were trying to get away. They were trying to get back. They saw what was happening. They saw the water that was coming. Their chariots had no wheels at this point. They're in a mess, and they know it. The waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them were remained not so much as one of them. Every single one of them perished. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. Again, we see the wall. And look what it says here, verses 30 and 31. We're closed with this. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You see, the outcome was good for his people. It probably took some time for them to realize what they had seen. But you see how this played out. You see how this happened. Now think about this. Think about people, Jewish people, during the tribulation reading this. If my God, if Jesus, my God, my Lord, did this for them, my forefathers, will he do this for me? You think about what it looks like. If that's not a good illustration or maybe a good work or boost of faith for them, you think about that. Think about somebody reading this during the tribulation period, what that would mean to them, the Jewish people. You know, this is, again, written to the Hebrews. That's what it's for, not to forget who it's written to, absolutely who it's written about, but the purpose of it, for them to know who the Lord is. You know, It's the importance for them to see who Jesus is during the tribulation period when all this is happening, the Antichrist and all that is going on. Me and some friends were talking about that today, the time of Jacob's trouble, the second half of the tribulation period and what that's going to be like. It'll be worse than this, way worse than what we're reading here tonight. But I will stop there. I do appreciate your wonderful attention, appreciate God's word and what it teaches to us and how it helps us if we're willing to listen to it and abide by it. And I challenge us to not have a hard heart. A hard heart's a very serious thing and drive a person to do things they probably wouldn't normally do.